The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
It's time for AM 1260 The Rock's newest locally produced program called Where We Worship. This 30-minute show highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic churches, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of their parishioners. Now here's your host, Bob Tayek.
Hello and welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope. They're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. Parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. The bishops go on to say, parishes are the place where God's people meet, Jesus in word and sacrament, and come in touch with the source of the church's life. Why is the parish or church community essential to our relationship with God? One only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another, to live, and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Once again, welcome to Where We Worship. Filling in for Bob Tayek, I'm Dick Russ. Thanks for being with us. And today on Where We Worship, we look at the history, the ministries, and the people of St. Bernadette Parish in the West Cleveland suburb of Westlake. This coming November, St. Bernadette's will be celebrating the 70th anniversary of its founding. It was established by Bishop Edward Hoban on November of 1950. Joining me today on Where We Worship to look at the history and the current vibrancy of St. Bernadette are my guests, Father Philip Rocco, the pastor. Welcome, Father. Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Chris Krisiak, a longtime parishioner, former employee, now retired. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hello.
And also with us, Bart Chatfield, who's the assistant principal and the director of PSR and religious education. Bart, welcome to AM 1260 The Rock.
Thanks for having us.
Father, let's reflect a little bit on the founding of St. Bernadette's. It's after World War II. Cleveland is beginning to thrive. The city itself has nearly a million people. The population is booming, and people are now starting to move out for a number of reasons, right, to the various suburbs, including to the far western suburb of Westlake. It used to be farm country out there 50, 70 years ago, much different look today. But back then in 1950, there was a need for a Catholic presence, right?
Yes. I've been the pastor of St. Bernadette's for the last 10 years, so I have heard the stories. The founding pastor, a very kind, gentle man, a man of the church, was returning from pilgrimage to Lourdes, and the bishop asked him to form this parish in what was a pumpkin farm at one time. And he began that parish with a few people, as we all did, in some shared space in a school. And then the parish took off. Now, the name is very important because he requested it from Bishop Hoban, since he had just been to Lourdes, that the name of the parish be St. Bernadette.
That was Father Joseph Dempsey, and what a wonderful saint to have the parish named after.
I think it is a wonderful saint.
Must have had a profound influence on him then, his trip to Lourdes.
Yes, very much so.
You mentioned that the first Mass was celebrated in a school auditorium. And Bart Chatfield, you know, you're now assistant principal of the school. Interesting that the school building predated the church itself. And that was to fill the need of families, or how did that happen?
I can't speak exactly to how it happened, but I do know that it's a large campus that they continue to build upon over the years, and it's all spread out. So we're on actually 25 acres, and the school itself sits right next to the parish. We have a parking lot on both sides to accommodate all the people that we have coming to the parish and to the school.
Just as it is today, Catholic education in a Catholic school was very important to those founding people back almost 70 years ago, Bart.
Yes, it is. And they actually started out with, I think it was five classrooms, and we've actually grown now to where we have two classrooms in every grade level in pre-K through eighth grade.
Chris Krisiak, you've been a parishioner for a long time out there. You used to work at the parish, and you have a lot of memories, and your memories don't go back to those early years of 1950, but St. Bernadette's, to the Catholic in Northeast Ohio, has always been associated with the school and also with a vibrant parish life. What has it been like for you?
Well, I do know, reading at the beginning, that Father Dempsey was concerned about two things, and that was getting support from people and actually building the church on the grounds. And he started meeting in families' homes, and the response was huge, and so was the contributions. That has never changed in the entire time that I've been part of St. Bernadette's.
Are you a resident of Westlake?
I am.
And how long have you been out in Westlake?
I started out in Fairview Park, but we were actually part of St. Bernadette's. I come from a family of 13, and all of us went through school there. Uh-huh. So we all know Father Dempsey and Father O'Neill and Father Kramer very well.
And you were mentioning that he met in the homes, and it just took off like that.
Exactly. Exactly. The very first communion class had over 50 people, children. So it started out with a bang, and the school, it just grew quickly.
And Chris, when we were talking before we started the program about when the church was actually constructed, sometime in the mid-70s, and you kind of nailed it down pretty succinctly, because were you there at that time?
I was. I was graduating from high school, and I remember them breaking ground that same year. And later, I was married in the new church 4 years later. So.
And Father, there's a program now. The church has been there, the building itself, about 45 years or so.
Around that,
and
yes.
And you're doing some work to update it? Tell us about that.
There's some clarification of the way things were done in 1975 and how we would like things to look in our present day. Mm-hmm. I think that some of the differences are somewhat cosmetic, but I think a lot of the improvements are seating, new pews, situation of where the choir is and organ, some of the way the sanctuary is laid out, greater accessibility to people, and I would also say a little bit more technology. In the corners, we are sort of going to install screens discreetly, not in any way front and center, but for like what's proposed for the Catholic Charities campaign, a video from the bishop. So that is sort of exciting. New organ, well, I should say not a new organ, but upgrading the organ itself.
Father, we had talked a little bit about the history of St. Bernadette's and how it just seems to always be there and to be of service, a true West Side institution. Would you agree with that characterization, that it's just been steady for so many years?
Yes. From again, I have to say I am from Akron, and I spent most of my priesthood on the East Side. So I've been there for 10 years, and there is definitely a tradition of St. Bernadette as being one of the prominent parishes. It is on the far eastern border of Westlake. So it was, you might say, the pioneering parish of Westlake. And even in some ways, there was St. Christopher's, but it took the western part of St. Christopher's and incorporated that with Westlake, North Olmsted, and Fairview Park.
And who could have seen that decades later, Westlake and that whole area would just explode and just blossom into a real population center. And now even further west, Avon Lake, you keep going out there, and the population is just continuous. You're listening to Where We Worship here on AM 1260 The Rock. We're talking about St. Bernadette's Parish with our guests in the studio. And coming up, we'll have more on the life and times of St. Bernadette as we continue with Where We Worship here on AM 1260 The Rock. Welcome back to Where We Worship here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm Dick Russ, filling in for Bob Tayak on this edition of Where We Worship, and we have guests in studio from St. Bernadette's, the pastor, Father Philip Rocco, Chris Krisiak, who's a longtime parishioner, and Bart Chatfield, who is the assistant principal of the school out there. Bart, Catholic education and the tradition of St. Bernadette School has kind of always been there. We've talked about this steadiness in the West Side community of St. Bernadette, and it has much to do with the parish's reputation, its success. Tell us about what's happening in the school today.
We really try to establish that we are a Catholic school first, and that is what we are there first and foremost to do, is create young adults who are promoting the faith, and we also have a tradition of excellence. So we try to make sure that not only are we good ambassadors to the faith, but we are an academic institution that excels in everything that we do and promotes service to the community. So I think you will find if you talk to any of our students, they can tell you about all the different things that we do as to serve the community. We have a St. Baldrick event that's coming up at the end of February here. We've done it a couple of times in the past. The last time we did it, we raised over $60,000 that went to St. Baldrick's Foundation to help cure.
$60,000?
Over $60,000. Wow. And that's just from one event. There's a number of things that we do. The canned food drive we did right around Thanksgiving, they brought in over 13,000 cans of food. And that's some of the things we do. We bring in the Culture Project. That is something that Bishop Perez actually promoted. And we're lucky enough to have these young people come in and actually talk to our students about what it means to be a person of faith and live a life of virtue. So that's kind of neat to be able to have them talk to peers, people that are their own age. I think as teachers and parishioners, we can talk to them all we want about being what it means to live a Catholic life and a Catholic lifestyle. And you know how it is with peers. They take more away from their peers than they do from some of the adults in the room. So this way, with the Culture Project, we're able to actually get them in and they can talk to people that are their own age and actually hear it is possible to live this lifestyle and still be the person that you want to be.
And so your religious education is for people of all ages as well, not just the school kids.
It is. Yeah. It is. We actually start in preschool. We have the Good Shepherd program where we bring the preschool children in, and they do that. In kindergarten through eighth grade, we talk about theology of the body, which is part of the new religion curriculum with the diocese. So there's a lot of things that we do. And again, we're a Catholic school. That's why people are there. And that's our first and foremost concern is their Catholic education.
Chris, what is it that makes the parish so, I guess you could say, successful in serving various needs of the community? Some of the temporal things that Bart was talking about, but the spiritual needs and the spiritual growth. What is it about that the folks there?
From the very beginning, Father Dempsey instilled a desire for service. And right away, the Ladies Guild started. That was huge. And also the Holy Name Society. We have continued to add on. And with the whole idea of service, my role as care minister coordinator to help the outreach to the elderly, very much filled with spirituality to bring them communion and help them still connect with the church community. All of that started with Father Dempsey and was continued with each of the pastors.
Yeah, Father Rocco, and imbuing all of this and overlaying all of this is the foundational aspect of a parish, and that's the spiritual life, the nurturing of the people. What are some of the things that you're doing at St. Bernadette's in Westlake now, sacraments, devotions, those kind of things that fill that spiritual life of the parishioners?
I often would speak at Holy Rosary this phrase, and I've brought it to St. Bernadette's, and that is to learn about the Mass, to love the Mass, and to live the Mass. From there, I also spoke and added a dimension. I told the people of St. Bernadette, I would like them to stop going to Mass and recognizing the Mass makes them who they are. That's not a thing apart from them, but it is really our identity as Catholics and as Christians. And I believe that the spirituality of the liturgy and I guess you would also say the spirituality of the pastor is one that the people recognize and are nurtured by, I would hope. And I think that liturgical spirituality is very important. Christmas time, our big parish event is the Feast of the Epiphany. We party all the way through Christmas and even beyond in celebrating the birth of Christ. I think that the season of Lent and Eastertide are celebrated with a great enthusiasm, as they are in many parishes. But, you know, thinking back, I could say to you that in celebrating the Holy Triduum at St. Bernadette's, there is nothing lacking. Whether you celebrated it in Rome, at the Vatican, or you celebrated it in the Holy Land, it just is a beautiful experience. And sort of like multivitamin, if someone only had to come to St. Bernadette's, I think they would be nurtured spiritually in a complete way. It's the goal of mine as a pastor.
And we've mentioned before in some of the previous programs with various parishes around Northeast Ohio and the Diocese of Cleveland that the spiritual nature of the people does reflect the approach of the pastor. And I'm wondering, in the years since you have taken this emphasis, what have you seen in terms of the growth or the spiritual nature of your parishioners, Father?
I would just simply say I think that they have a greater awareness of that love of the Mass, and also of the role of their own living the Mass and their connectedness to that in their daily lives. I'm gently and carefully aware of what they have had in the past and building upon that with some creativity in the future.
And how appropriate on a program called Where We Worship that you're speaking of the summit of our worship, which is the Holy Mass. And that will take us now to the end of this particular portion of our program. We're going to have some more and talk about the future and what lies ahead, what things look like at St. Bernadette's and Westlake and kind of that far western suburb area when we return with more of Where We Worship right here on AM 1260, Cleveland Catholic Radio, The Rock. And we welcome you back to Where We Worship, our special monthly program here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, where we take a look in depth at one of the parishes that make up our Northeast Ohio Catholic community and our Diocese of Cleveland. We're talking today about St. Bernadette's, and we're pleased to have in our studio here at The Rock, Father Philip Rocco, the pastor, Chris Krisiak, who's a longtime parishioner, Bart Chatfield, assistant principal, who takes care of the PSR classes and religious education there. So, Father Rocco, 70 years, you're coming up on a big anniversary later in the year 2020. What is the size of St. Bernadette's now? You told me you started out in a pumpkin patch 70 years ago, and here, now you're up to what?
Well, that pumpkin patch is about 23 to 25 acres in a church that it seats about 900 people. Their family, again, there's a shift of population as the area continued to develop. People continue to move out further west. I think at its high point, there was about 3,300 families in St. Bernadette's. Today, we are about 2,600. That's at least as how many subscriptions to the Northeastern Ohio Catholic magazine we send out.
But still considered a large parish, 2,600 families.
Yes, it is.
And you mentioned that the population is moving further and further west, and people come and people come and go. Do you have steady, Chris, would you say, are there many of the original people who kind of never left, you know, in the last 30, 40, 50 years? What's your sense about that? Because you've been there a long time.
Yes, we do have families that have been there for a long time. Yes, and then we also have the new ones that have come in, and as Father said, as they move further west, we're getting some new ones even now at this point.
You mentioned something about your being involved in a ministry to older folks, mm-hmm. and in parishes that are long established, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, not that somebody's been there 90 years, but a lot of folks are getting up there, and there are certain needs that a parish would be wise to attend to, and it sounds like you're doing that. What are some of the services you provide to the older folks who want to remain members?
First and foremost, when we find out they're in the hospital, we'd like to get out there and get a visit and see where they're going from there and what kind of needs they need. It's very important for longtime parishioners who have been attending regularly to still be connected to the parish. So we try very hard to do that. We work diligently to bring them communion, try to get visits, help them if they need doctor's appointments and that kind of thing.
And on the other hand, Bart Chatfield, the needs of the children, both those who are attending your school, and you said you have two grades of each. what, about 400, 450 kids there?
We have about 420 kids in the day school and then another about 140 in the PSR program at night.
Yeah, because you have a, I mean, there's a big public school system out there naturally, and a lot of the Catholic families send their kids there. What do you do for those kids in terms of PSR? How do you try to look after the Catholic formation of those who are not actually enrolled in your school?
Well, we actually try to make sure that whatever we're teaching in the day school also happens at PSR at night. Obviously, we don't have as much time to devote to that, but we do make sure that when we bring something in for the day school, that we schedule it so that it occurs on the same day as PSR. So that if we have a special program, for example, come in, like the Culture Project, that they can then talk at night. So they're getting the same kind of educational opportunities at PSR that they are during the actual day school.
Formation in the sacraments, Father, for those who are enrolled in the school and those who are not, that's got to be a priority as well.
Yes, it is. And I would say that we are no different in that area than most of our parishes, with the pre-sacramental programs for baptism, for confirmation, for penance, First Eucharist. The priests, we do that as a team, I would say to you, though. We do that preparation with not only one of the priests, but parishioners involved and other professionals that we might acquire in preparation for the sacraments.
You know, Father, we hear this over and over again, that it's a different world now than it was even 20 years ago, much less 70 years ago when your parish was founded. There are so many distractions, so many things that happen in the world today that clamor for people's attention. What are some of the challenges that a pastor and his parish face in terms of the secular world today, and trying to keep things together and keep people focused and, you know, making sure that the spiritual life of people doesn't get lost or take a back seat in this busy, busy world that we're all involved in?
Well, you know, you had mentioned with Chris some of the needs of the elderly, and I was thinking to myself, that has changed so drastically. Number one, people are living a little bit longer than before, but also they're a lot more mobile. One of the needs of our elderly, in some cases, are to stay connected while they're spending 2 or 3 months in Florida. So we just have a means of connecting with them through the media, through all forms of technology. As far as secularism is concerned, how do you do that? I think primarily one of the most important things for many people is the Sunday homily, to be able to address the positive, that which is secular, and how that positive can be used in order to convey the sacred. You know, we believe that grace builds upon nature, and so we have to look at some of the secular realities and just communicate in a Christ-like way how there is even something more. St. John Paul II said, this is what they tell you who you are, allow me to tell you who you can be. That's a poster in our billboard, what do you call them nowadays? Billboards, posters in our school that I think speaks volumes to our young people. This is what the world might tell you you are. We're going to tell you what you can be, as St. John Paul the Great has so wonderfully put forth.
Chris Krisiak, final thought on what it is to be a good parishioner, no matter where you are, for those who are listening. What would you say?
I would say commitment and the desire to bring joy and love to others, truly, in anything that we do. Father has started so many great groups, and when you go there with enthusiasm, people just want to join with you. They do.
And Bart, a couple final thoughts on the value of a Catholic education in today's age.
We're educating generations these days. I literally have had grandparents who come in and they say, my son went here and now my granddaughter is going to come here. And there's a real excitement. I mean, I've seen people who have gotten married in the church and then their children have gotten married in the church and now their grandchildren are already through college. So it's a great community, and I'm just proud that we're allowed to be a part of that community.
Well, thanks, and thank you, Father Rocco, for being here today.
Yes, I would like to add one thing. We have an illustrious alumni at St. Bernadette's. We have a bishop that was a graduate of St. Bernadette, Bishop Wokoyak, and the head of Catholic Education, the Secretariat, Mr. Olin is also a graduate of St. Bernadette Catholic School.
And Bishop Wolkowiak was actually a classmate of mine at St. Ignatius High School. So how about that?
Oh, very good.
Wonderful. Thank you all for being here. We deeply appreciate it. Congratulations on your upcoming 70th anniversary at St. Bernadette's. And to all of you who are listening, this has been Where We Worship. I'm Dick Russ, filling in for our regular host, Bob Tayak, today. This installment has featured St. Bernadette Parish in Westlake. Where We Worship is a production of AM 1260, The Rock, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and our participation in Catholic life. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship, AM 1260 The Rock's newest locally produced program highlighting the rich histories and significance of Northeast Ohio's Catholic churches. If you missed any part of the show, listen to the program in its entirety on our website at am1260therock.com under the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.